عبده ورسوله صلوات. I was very fortunate, it was actually 40 years ago when my wife and I in New Orleans, Louisiana decided that after studying Islam for 2 years, we decided that this was our way and the way that we would live the rest of our lives. It was a very big commitment. The convert community back there was rooted in the 1960s generation. Our generation challenged very severely most all of the institutions in America that had for generations been unquestioned. And the country was challenged very severely from Boston to San Francisco with our generation. If you just look at some of the milestones of the 1960s generation, you can probably see, even if you're a young person, that we had the assassination of Kennedy, John F. Kennedy. You had the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. You had the martyrdom of the hero of most of the convert community, El Hajj Malik Shabazz, popularly known as Malcolm X. And then you had Bobby, Johnny's brother, was killed. You had the Black Power movement, where the group known as the Black Panther Party stood up in a very strong way against the racist, institutionalized racism of America. In Oakland, the little black kids were going to school, 5, 6, 7 years old, and they couldn't learn anything because they were so hungry. So the Black Panther Party had a breakfast program to get them to eat some good breakfast so they can at least learn something in the school. Well, this very act of feeding the 5 and 6 year old black kids, according to J. Edgar Hoover, who was the head of the FBI at that time, he considered this feeding of these little kids to be the biggest threat to national security in our country. And one by one, they picked off and assassinated the leaders. In that kind of context, we had the Chicago Democratic National Convention in 1968, where other heroes like Abby Hoffman and others, instead of getting the freedom to speak their minds, instead they were met with billy clubs and bloodshed. So I want to set that context that our entry to Islam, most of the converts at that time were from the African-American community. I was probably one of the only ones who was not. And my perspective of entering the House of Islam was, as my brothers, a reclaiming of a stolen history that was stolen for them in the enterprise of slavery that built this country for free for several hundred years. I entered Islam through, you might say, a political door. A door that challenged the status quo. I had no idea of the particular labels of the different Muslim people in terms of the two main schools, and so I was very fortunate that I was introduced to Islam in a non-sectarian global way. When the revolution in Iran, when I became a Muslim in 74, I looked at the Muslim world and I said, my goodness, from one end, from Morocco to Indonesia, the Muslim world is in such a state of wandering aimlessly. My early mentor in Islam, Dr. Kalim Siddiqui in London, wrote a book in 1974, the year that I became a Muslim, and it was called Beyond the Muslim Nation States. And the cover of the book was a very provocative one. It had a garbage can. And inside the garbage can was all the leaders of the different Muslim countries, you know, Nasser and whoever wasn't, you know, all these guys, the king of Saudi Arabia, the Shah of Iran, all these guys and these different African leaders. And it was the conventional wisdom back then was these countries are getting their independence. So people were walking around very proud with their chest sticking out. And, you know, no longer was a white British or a Frenchman leading our country. Instead, they had a guy, you know, looked like me, you know, a brown guy, a black guy, whatever, an Asian guy. And he was leading the country, but who? For who? On behalf of the outside powers. So this concept of beyond the Muslim nation states. And he wrote a book saying that one day soon, maybe in 50 years from now, the Muslims are going to find their level of unity and stand up and have a real Islamic revolution. He thought that what happened in Iran in 1979 with the great Imam Khomeini, may Allah fill his grave with light. It was his theory that maybe by the year 2025 or 2050, something like that would happen. But like a bull out of the blue, like a time capsule that came up from the earth, we had a revolution in 1979 that accelerated, if you will, the position of what has become, what has come to be known as political Islam. What does that mean? It means that the Orientalist scholars had said that Islam is a spent force. It's in the museums of history, and that Islam is no longer relevant as a, you know, way of life to rule people and to guide people in their countries of origin. I remember that there was a documentary called The Sword of Islam back in the early 80s, where it was a very bloody sword and trying to present Islam as such a backward and barbaric, bloodthirsty religion, but it really backfired on the people who produced it. And instead, it revived the youth to say that, no, you have a country like Egypt or Iran with, you know, 95% Muslims, and the very idea that they would not be able to have Islam as some part of the ruling of the country, it was a preposterous question. The arrogance of the question itself was something unusual. So in my non-sectarian entry to Islam, I said to them, what does this mean, Sunni and Shia and all this kind of stuff? But my mentor, one of my early mentors, said, no. Mansour, aren't you from the 1960s generation? I said, yeah. Yeah. And I said, he said, what was the purpose of the 1960s generation? Well, to challenge the status quo. Well, the Muslims who call themselves Shia also are in that category. They rebelled against what they considered to be an unjust status quo. So I didn't get all the sectarian, you know, name calling and all the revenge and all this kind of stuff. I just got the fact that they were rebelling against a system of rulership that they considered illegitimate. So I was able to come into the Islamic door with a non-sectarian view and was able to be invited to Iran shortly after the revolution, where I met all the top leaders there. And we developed a relationship to bring the schools on the different schools on a platform where, in spite of our historical different readings of history, we could work together. So it's come to now, 40 years later, where I can say, and to end this short presentation, one verse of the Quran and one hadith of the Prophet, peace be upon him. And when I look at the theme of our conference tonight, Jerusalem, to approach Jerusalem in an interfaith way, I say that the 49th chapter, verse number 13, Hujurat 13, when it says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, يا أيها الناس, إن خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى, وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعرفوا, إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم, إن الله عليم خبير. God is addressing all mankind, saying that we created you from a single male and female, and then we evolved you to be nations and tribes so you would recognize each other, not so you would hate and despise each other. And the best of you is the one who has, in the Arabic word, taqwa, or what I like to say, the one who makes a positive contribution. And so no matter what faith background you might be from, you're part of a human family. You have God alone, you have a series of prophets, and then you have mankind. It's a very simple one family of humanity. And then the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, كُلُّ نَاسْ مِنْ Adam, وَآدَمْ مِنْ تُرَابْ. What could be more simple? All of mankind, the whole of creation, is from Adam. And Adam was from clay. So this is what we have in common. One common human family, supposed to know each other and recognize each other and get along with each other. And that's where I like to leave it in terms of approaching the Jerusalem topic, because, as you know, it's considered to be the third holiest place in the Islamic faith, and it is such a central city to all the other great faiths of the world. So I'm hoping that this is a way to kick off an important and relevant discussion, especially with our special guests from New York, Rabbi Feldman, and can I say the name Kazukin, right? So I'm really looking forward to this evening. I'm thrilled that I was invited. God bless you. Wassalamu alaikum.